Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh. Yeah, it's the big show. Come on, crank it up and turn on all the lights. Oh.
3 o'clock hour on the Wendy's Big Show, along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Rami Makhlouf. Bill Baby Tau Schmidt on the other side of the glass. On Deck Show coming up at 4 o'clock to get you ready for Brewers and Dodgers in the NLCS. We'll talk with our national baseball insider, Seth Everett, this hour. He'll join us at 3:35 to talk about that NLCS. It's a Major League Monday, though. We want to cover your Brewers and your Packers, and it's time to get to those Packers and open up those phone lines to you at 414-799-1250 and ask, what are you confident, concerned, and curious about when it comes to Packers and 49ers? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Sparky, what are you confident about when it comes to Packers and Niners tonight, Monday Night Football?
Well, I'm confident that Aaron Rodgers is going to have a big game here. I mean, I know there's no Cobb and there's no Allison, but considering all the rhetoric going on between him and McCarthy for the last couple of weeks and all the columns being written. Now, there was another column I read today to comparing, talking to Mike Holmgren, about how he would have handled this with Rodgers, and just said, I never had to handle this. Brett never did this to me. Brett never went in the media against me. I never had this problem with Matt Hasselbeck. Never had that issue either. He goes, so knowing how I was, and he goes, and I've gotten better, by the way, meaning how angry he used to get and snap at people, I don't know how that would have went down. But it's not something you want to see, obviously. If you have a problem, then come in my office and let's have a conversation. Don't do it in the media. It is, you know, Holmgren's point about this whole thing. So now you got a former Packer head coach involved in talking about the current head coach and current quarterback situation in Green Bay. I just think if they want this all to go away, Rodgers and McCarthy, then this offense needs to get going and needs to put up a bunch of points against this Niners team. And I don't care that it's the Niners. But they need a game where this offense scores like 5 touchdowns. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Big week. Then you go into the bye week, gather yourself, and get ready for Rams and Patriots after the bye week. They need a big offensive night. So I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers throws 4 touchdown passes tonight.
4 touchdown passes. That's your confidence. Big night for Aaron Rodgers and the offense, specifically in the passing game, you're confident about.
Roll out the helmets.
Don't do that.
Roll out the
helmets. This has not worked out for you well in the past.
I haven't done it this year at all.
I know.
Not once.
I know.
Not once.
I understand.
Roll out the helmets.
I'll never forget the first time that we had one of these roll out the helmets game.
Yep.
We were at W.J. Kuhn down in Oak Creek. That's how specifically I remember this. I remember exactly where we were when we did the show, and they were facing a Colts team that had won one game at that point in the season. And Sparky goes, roll out the helmets. And Gary LeRoy lose their mind. Oh, man, you never say that. Never roll out the helmets. These are all professional teams. Everybody's getting paid any given Sunday, blah, blah, blah. They're throwing all that stuff at Sparky, and he stood strong. He said, nope, roll out the helmets. There's no way they don't win this game.
Yep.
And, of course, they went on to lose that game,
yep.
And Sparky took quite a bit of heat for it.
But
so,
I've been right as well.
You've been right when you've said roll out the helmets,
yep.
Yes, but people tend to blame you when you say roll out the helmets.
I don't care.
And then it doesn't end up working out that way.
I get blamed for everything. What else is new?
He's at Sparky Radio. If you want to fire off at Sparky, if this doesn't turn out to be a roll out the helmets game. What are you confident, concerned, and curious about when it comes to Packers and Niners tonight on Monday Night Football? Baby Tosh, what are you confident about in this game tonight?
I'm confident in my man Blake Martinez locking down the middle of the defense. If you're going to go up against C.J. Beathard, a guy that we've seen play quarterback at a very low level in the NFL, high level talent-wise compared to everything else. But if you're going to talk about at the NFL level, he's going to try to dump down the ball a lot. If Breed is able to go and be as effective as he was earlier in the year, They're going to want to dump the ball off to him a lot. Blake Martinez, early on, close to the line of scrimmage, going to have to shut that down.
I'm along the same lines as my buddy Sparky here. I'm confident in the offense as a whole, and not just Aaron Rodgers necessarily, but the offense as a whole should be able to do a lot of what they want against this 49ers team. I think it's really important, Sparky, for the Packers to get up and get up. I don't want to say big, but make it like a two-score game early on in like the first quarter. You want to be up 10-0 or 14-0 because we've seen that when you put this defense in good situations, it can be a very good defense. They're ranked number 4 right now in yardage. I don't put a lot of stock in that. Neither does Mike Pettine, if you saw his recent comments. But if you look at the breakdown of when they, because it's been a very Jekyll and Hyde defense, if you look at the breakdown of when they've been good and when they've been bad, they are, and you can say this about most defenses, but I think it's especially the case for the Packers, they are really, really bad when they have their backs up against the wall. If there's a turnover or for whatever reason they find themselves in bad field position, teams, for whatever reason, seem to be able to just slice right through them in those situations. When they're in a good position, when they have a lead, when the field position is in the Packers' favor, this defense can be very good, and that 49ers offense, as I said when we were talking about the green and gold best defense, not really a lot there on the 49ers offense.
About
go ahead,
that,
what?
Tom Kasnick says the 49ers did not promote a running back from the practice squad today, which means Matt Breida should play. Have to wonder how effective he'll be. Alf Morris still carries running back 3 value, and he's the safer play of the two, but Breida obviously carries the higher ceiling tonight. So it appears Breida may play.
Okay. Even with that being the case, I don't have a lot of faith in that 49ers offense. I have plenty of faith in Aaron Rodgers and this Packers offense, despite what we've seen.
Even with rookie wide receivers.
They've also been kind of Jekyll and Hyde. You've talked about this before, Sparky. It seems like they can only play one good half of football, Aaron Rodgers and that Packers offense. If that's the case, that good half needs to come in the first half tonight. A, you need to demoralize this 49ers team, and if they think they have any chance coming into it, you need to do away with any of their hopes and thoughts that they have a chance early on. And like I said, put your defense in a good situation, because they are a very different defense when they're in favorable situations compared to when they're in non-favorable situations. I think the offense can have a big night. I think the offense will have a big night, and they need to get it started early. That's my confidence as we ask, what are you confident, concerned, and curious about in this game tonight? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. What's your concern, Spark?
I think I'm concerned most going into this game, just like I am every game, about just health, man. They cannot continue to get guys hurt right now. Bulaga has to be able to stay healthy and stay out there at right tackle. Spriggs is obviously dinged up behind him. Bulaga is questionable coming into this game. I don't see how he doesn't play, Rami. They don't have anybody.
Yeah.
How is he not going to play?
No, he's going to play.
He has to play, right?
I mean, I'm going to go to the depth chart before I sound stupid.
What's Bell?
Unless, sadly, you have a situation like you did when Sitton, two, 3 years ago against the Vikings, had to jump out there from guard.
Correct.
And looked horrible.
Yeah,
out to
that
left tackle.
Was ugly. I remember
right.
that. Yeah.
Out to left tackle. But I just don't. You can't have guys get more hurt than they already are. I mean, it's bad enough half your team. You got 8 guys listed as questionable tonight. 8. That's a lot of guys that may or may not play. And Adam Schefter already says Cobb and Allison aren't playing. Expected to be on the inactive list, according to Adam Schefter. So you're back to a rookie wide receiver. So for me, my biggest concern is health, specifically on the offensive line, and not losing anybody else. They've got to start staying healthy here and going into this bye week, get as healthy as possible for that big stretch after the bye week.
Mine is along those same lines. I'll tell you exactly what it is. I want to hear from Baby Tosh first, though. What's your concern
Man,
in this
sounds
one?
Like it's going to be a three-peat, because you got to come out of here healthy going into the bye week. Because if you're going to roll in with any kind of confidence into the bye week, you get a win, you go 3-2-1, and you're sitting there getting healthier, feeling a lot better about yourself every single day that you're out on the practice field.
Right.
Or for the first week that you're off. You're going to get healthier with the week off, but for me, it's A-Rod. You can't let him get touched too much up. Already that knee is hurting, and like Sparky said, if your offensive line is going to be banged up, if there's any night to lean on Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, it's going into the bye week against a team that you should be able to dominate up front.
And I need 9 points from Aaron Jones tonight to win my fantasy game.
Well, I need 9.5 more than the Niners.
Keep my season alive. And that, you actually kind of led me right into my concern in this one, Baby Tosh. And it is about health, but it's about more than that. My concern is that Aaron Rodgers is going to hang on to the ball too damn long. And this has been, I mean, this has been an issue with Aaron Rodgers throughout much of his career. It's also where, and we talked with Ben Fennell about this a little bit on Friday, it's one of his greatest strengths, and it's one of his greatest weaknesses, is that sometimes he hangs on to the ball too long, and he'll go wandering outside the pocket, and yes, he makes special things happen when he does that, often. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So you don't want to take that away from him overall, but I think for at least just one more game, you got the bye after this one. Live to fight another day, dude. I mean, this guy is hobbled. He hasn't been the Aaron Rodgers that we've come to know over the course of his career. And I think I've been talking about some of the missed throws that he's had already this year, Sparky. Very uncharacteristic, like missed throws by Aaron Rodgers, where he has guys open, he doesn't have a lot of pressure, and still misses them. And this didn't really occur to me until last night, and it should have, but they were showing Tom Brady go through some of the exercises that he goes through in terms of his throwing motion, and he's still, I mean, you would think by this stage in his career, that guy just, he gets out there and throws it, right? He knows how to throw a football, but he's still really detail-oriented and very intricate in every aspect of his throwing motion, and it all starts with the legs. It all, and that goes for every quarterback. Your throwing motion starts with the legs.
Well, any sport.
You need to have a good
pitchers,
base.
Right. Whatever.
Exactly. And I think after watching that last night, it popped into my head. I was like, that might explain why Aaron is missing throws that he shouldn't miss, even when there isn't pressure,
sure,
even when a guy is open. So you need him to live to fight another day from a standpoint of health, but you also, from a play-to-play standpoint, want to preach live to fight another day, because Aaron Rodgers can't get away from guys like he normally can when he has two healthy legs. And we saw last week the Detroit Lions got to him and twice got the ball out of his hands. Just don't, if you don't turn the ball over, there's almost no way that this particular 49ers team without Jimmy Garoppolo should be able to beat you. Ball security has to be number one, and part of ball security is Aaron Rodgers not hanging on to the ball for too long. And I'm not going to say that they need to go to four quarters of what we saw in the second half against the Bears. That's really hard to pull off. You're really asking a lot from an offense to play that style of offense over the course of four quarters, especially your offensive linemen. That's a high pace.
Right.
That's a lot of plays. Fatigue is going to set in, and it's going to play a factor. So I'm not going to say play that for four quarters, but I would like to see a little bit more of that just for this one week and maybe the 2 weeks off between now and it's the Patriots after
Rams.
The bye, Rams after the bye. Maybe you get Aaron Rodgers back to close to 100%, but he's got to get rid of the ball, even if it means throwing the damn thing away and punting. Even if it's a third down, he's got to throw the ball away and punt. Fine. Throw the ball away and punt. Just as, like I said before, field position is going to be big in this one, and turnovers are going to be huge in this one. Keep the ball, and there's no way they can beat you.
Before we get to a break here, Brewers lineup is out. Lorenzo Cain leading off. Christian Yelich batting second. Braun batting third. Shaw cleaning up. Aguilar is fifth. Moustakas sixth. Kratz catching. Arcia, Chacin. Just a normal lineup for the Brewers. Nothing too crazy.
What are you confident, concerned, and curious about? Packers, Niners, Monday Night Football, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's a Major League Monday on The Fan and the Wendy's Big Show. Be right back. It is a Major League Monday here on The Fan. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Bill Baby Tausch Schmidt, other side of the glass, Tim Allen and Baby Tausch. They join us for the On Deck Show coming up at 4 o'clock, 2 hours to get you ready for Brewers-Dodgers Game 3 of the NLCS. Also want to get you ready for Packers and Niners on Monday Night Football. We're doing that right here, right now, asking you, what are you confident, concerned, and curious about when it comes to this game? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. And Seth Everett, our national baseball insider, he's going to join us at 3:35 to talk about that NLCS. But right now we're going to talk with Ty in Philly. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Ty?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, before I get to my confident, concerned, and curious, I wanted to ask y'all, can y'all ask Ryan Wood, is it any interest going into this bye week and the players from the Raiders and Patrick Peterson?
Sure.
It was reported.
Yep.
But, all right, getting to my confident, concern, curious. I'm going to make it five on the concern, and that's the health going into this body. This team has to stay healthy. I'm confident that this defense will get at least one takeaway. And confident, concern. And I am
curious.
The last one.
Curious.
And I'm, oh, okay, curious to see about this front seven of the defense. Can we get any pressure, manufacture any pressure going up front? But I got the Packers winning 35-12, guys.
Appreciate the call. Sparky, do you expect any pass rush in this one?
Not really. I just don't know how you can at this point. You can get pass rush via blitzing, you're right. You can blitz your safeties, blitz your cornerbacks, get pressure that way. Do I expect Clay Matthews and Nick Perry to have huge games? No. If they do, does that mean a whole bunch? Probably not. Because, again, it's San Francisco. They're not a very good football team at this point in time. So it would be nice. It would be nice to see some pressure from somebody on this team to do something a little bit more than they've done in the past. Did you see the column that Pete Doherty wrote talking about this team needs more and needs to do something
about the tight end and safety? Tight end, yeah.
Did you see the suggestion of moving Breland to safety and moving Hocklin Dix over to strong safety so he can play in the box and letting Breland essentially play center field?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Talking about switching positions in the middle of the season with a new defense that he's only been here for 2 weeks.
I don't hate that idea. The guy that I want to see, and look, I trust Mike McCarthy and his football sensibilities. He's a highly successful NFL head coach. And
as he said,
there's got to be some sort of reason why this guy isn't seeing the field. But before we go to measures that drastic, are you as curious as I am about what Josh Jones can do if he gets extended time on a football field?
He doesn't know the playbook. If you don't know the playbook, you're not going to play. I mean, it's just that simple. That's what it appears to me right now. It just doesn't appear that
he's also not the classic free safety who can play center field. Pete talked about that in the article as well, about Josh Jones as an option and why he's not really an option, because what this defense is lacking right now is that classic true free safety who can wander and play center field and sort of defend, you know, almost the whole field deep at least and take away the big plays. Remember when they drafted that guy?
Yes.
Remember when they drafted Josh Jones?
Capers had big, big dreams for
Josh
Jones.
Big plans.
Yep.
Remember he was supposed to be what, and a lot of teams are using this type of player now, that hybrid safety linebacker who you can move all over the field, kind of a jack of all trades, and teams are going to have to pay attention and know where he lines up on any given play. We just haven't seen that, and I'm still intrigued by what they were telling us about him when they drafted him. Maybe I need to let that go and give up on it, but there's a part of me that's going, man, let's just see what Josh Jones has got.
I think right now at this point, what is going on here? Oh, Amber Alert. I think at this point right now.
I didn't get that.
It's because you don't care about children.
It's not very nice.
Well, hasn't he made it very clear?
Yeah, he doesn't want children.
I don't want kids. It doesn't mean I want them missing. I don't want kids to go missing. That's not what I'm looking for. It's not good for anybody.
No.
But are you not as intrigued as I am about Josh Jones, who's also gone missing? Amber Alert for Josh Jones.
I just think at this point that if he doesn't know where he's supposed to be and he's not assignment sure, he's not going to play. And if you read that Doherty article, it appears that's why Bryce got the job, because Bryce is more assignment sure than the other candidates that they had there. And Doherty throws out in that article about going out letting Whitehead move to safety and giving him an opportunity. I don't know. I'm not sold on Whitehead being a difference maker necessarily in this defense. Jones has the athletic ability to be a playmaker in this defense, but if he's going to continuously blow assignments and cause you to give up big plays, Rami, you can't put him out there.
There's got to be a good reason why he's not. I'm just very curious and intrigued by the enigma that is Josh Jones and why he can't get on the football field and what he could do if he ever did see the football field consistently.
Yeah.
He's been a pretty, adequate, I would say, contributor on special teams. Actually, probably pretty good. From what, if you listen to Ron Zook tell it, he's been pretty good on special teams, which that's not to be poo-pooed or dismissed, but I really just would like to see if this guy can do what they had envisioned for him to do when they drafted him. But again, maybe I just need to let that go. It's been two drafts since they were selling that to us with Josh Jones. You mentioned the defense. Well, no, actually our caller mentioned the defense and getting pressure on the quarterback. Home defenses, let's see here. They don't care about fantasy points. They've allowed 18 sacks this season to home defenses. If you can't get home, if you can't at least put some pressure on C.J. Beathard tonight and this 49ers team, then give up all hope of a pass rush at any point in this season really developing. This is the game where you get that pass rush going if you're ever going to get it going.
They've given up a lot of sacks this year.
Who, the 49ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just told you, they've given up 18 this season on their on the road alone. 18, okay. So 18
the,
on the road.
The split is on the road.
Yeah. Right. That's insane. So if if there's a team that you're going to get this pass rush going against, it's got to be this 49ers team. And if they don't, then just give up all hope of a pass rush.
Yeah, I just don't have much confidence. I mean, if they have a big sack day, like I said, that'd be great. I'm not going to be overly impressed with it. That would be great. But I'm also not going to be surprised if they only end up with like two sacks in this game. I mean, how many sacks do you think they're going to get?
Two would be okay. Three would be good. Four would be an outstanding game for this defense.
Yeah, I agree. Sure. Dawson tweets at 105.7 FM The Fan. I'm concerned about the amount of commercials time between innings of the Brewers game. So I have some time to catch any of the Packers game.
You see, and I saw a lot of people fretting or debating or discussing how they're going to watch both these games tonight.
Yeah, Tim talked about it today on the Chuck and Winkler show.
Oh, is that what started the chatter?
He was filling in for Chuck, yeah.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know what had started this chatter about what are you going to do about both these games on at the same point. Remember when we at length discussed me putting two TVs in my living room when I first moved into my house, and everybody ridiculing me, and it's going to look like a college dorm, and Rami needs to grow up, and you're so stupid. Who's the smart guy now? Who's the smartest guy in the room now?
I still don't think it's smart to have it in your living room.
Who's going to be watching two games tonight at the same time?
I understand.
With
just saying,
steaks on the grill.
If you see
this guy,
most of the pictures have been tweeted, and most of them look like they're basements or rec rooms. None of them look like they're living rooms in the front of the house.
It's my house, dude.
You can do whatever you want. Right. I think the point was people were getting on you because it was your living room.
The whole house is my man cave. It's my house. Huh. Wow. I'm the only name.
Don't you got a girl, man? How is it a whole man cave? Doesn't she have any say in this?
She does, but she doesn't care.
So she hasn't...
She's totally fine with my decor, with my two TVs in the living room.
She didn't touch or change anything.
She's
Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, what's up, girl? She's put up a few things here and there, which is fine.
Like
and
what?
She can do whatever she wants. Little trinkets up on a shelf or... I don't know if she's hung any pictures.
Pictures of them, too.
I don't know if she's hung any pictures on the wall.
Are there any pictures of you and her anywhere in your house?
I don't think
so. For people to see.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. We're not picture people. And we're not really, like, decorative people. Like, my house is pretty plain.
Pretty there.
Yeah. And I haven't changed a lot since I moved in. Like, mostly what's hanging on the walls now is what was hanging on the walls the day
I moved in. Right.
When I first moved in.
When I was there a couple of months ago, it really didn't even look like you unpacked much.
But I'm happy. I'm good. I'm comfortable. I got two TVs in the living room. I'm going to watch both these games tonight. No problem whatsoever.
That's the thing. And again, I was hearing Tim talk about this. You know, do you go to a sports bar to watch this or whatever else? And then the argument is going to arise for sure, where you're going to have some people in there don't care about the Brewers, want to watch the Packers. The sound will be on the Brewers, and those Packer fans are going to get all hacked off. Why do we have the sound on the Brewers? I want to hear the Packer game. Or it'll be a reverse situation. You're going to a Packer bar. They're going to have the Brewers game on, but the sound won't be on. The sound will be on the Packer game. And people are going to get mad because the Brewer sound isn't on. This really is a no-win situation for most bars. Unless...
Some bars have those little speakers you can put on your table.
Those are very nice.
And select which TV you're actually getting the audio from.
Yep. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. But not a lot of bars have
it. No.
But the other option would be if you have multiple rooms in your bar to where you can put the Brewers on in one room with the sound.
That's a good idea.
The Packers on in another room with the sound, and then the bar is just whatever we determine it's going to be. We're just going to count. Whoever they've gotten the most fan base wearing whatever colors, that's what's going to be on in the bar. Plain and simple. And you just make a whole big deal of it. You get on the microphone and go, okay, this room over here is Packers. That room is Brewers. The rest of you are in the bar. Whichever jerseys I see the most of and T-shirts, that's who we'll have the sound on for in the bar.
You know who I know will have it handled right, Sparky?
Magic Kingdom, I don't know.
No, my people. My favorite place in the whole wide world, Dave and Buster's in Wauwatosa. That is the place to be tonight.
What are they going to do for sound?
I don't know.
Do they have those little things?
No, they don't. But they have the D&B Sports Lounge.
And then 100 TVs.
And then it has three 161-inch TVs, 75-inch screens.
Amazing.
And then they have like that dining area on the other side of the bar. So I don't know if... I know that those are two different sound systems.
Correct.
Or can be. I don't know if they'll have the Packers on one.
Are there TVs in the dining room?
Yeah. Yeah, there's TVs as far as the eye can see at my favorite place in the whole wide world. Dave and Buster's in Wauwatosa. I told you about the D&B Sports Lounge. It is the place to be for all your sporting, viewing pleasure. You're not going to miss a pitch. You're not going to miss a snap, whether it's tonight, whether it's Sunday, and your fantasy football team you're trying to keep up with. And Dave & Buster's has a happy hour program now with bar bites during happy hour Monday through Friday from 3:45 until 7 and late night Sunday to Thursday from 10 p.m. until close with bar bite favorites such as Asian chicken wonton nachos, Bavarian pretzels, loaded pot stickers, sweet and spicy Kobe meatball sliders, Mexican street corn quesadillas, guacamole and chips, and much, much more. And during happy hour, all cocktails are now either $3, $4, or $5. Simple and affordable. Even I can keep up with that, and even I can afford that. And of course, no trip to Dave & Buster's would be complete without spending some time out on the Million Dollar Midway with the latest and greatest in arcade games, perfect for kids of all ages. And you have to check out the all-new Jurassic World Virtual Reality Expedition. It's like a game, it's like a ride, it's an experience, and it will blow your mind. Also, start thinking about booking your fall and holiday company parties now at Dave & Buster's. All you got to do is call Ben at 414-454-0100. That's Ben at 414-454-0100. Let him and his awesome staff handle all the details, so all you have to do is eat, drink, play, and watch sports at my favorite place in the whole wide world, Dave & Buster's, Wauwatosa, Highway 100, just south of North Avenue and Mayfair Mall.
Do you think people can read on Facebook?
Why? Yeah, I think so. I mean, how do you use Facebook without reading?
Confident, concerned, and curious about heading into the Green Bay Packers game tonight. First post from Josh. Brewers, Brewers, and Brewers. Second post from Jesse. That the Brewers win game three. Then I finally got some Packer posts. Like, do you think they're just being smart, Alex?
Yes. Absolutely.
Troy, I'm confident the bullpen is rested. Concerned a little bit about hitting against the Dodgers pitching and curious about the confidence of Jeffress.
You know, I just got on Instagram not too long ago, and Baby Tosh, you could maybe confirm or deny this because you've been more in the social media than
I'm younger.
You're younger. Yes, you've been more into social media than I have over the course of our lives. But for me, like as far as negativity goes, Facebook takes the cake. Like Facebook is first place every time as far as negativity, trolling. Then Twitter is a close second. Instagram, people are really nice on Instagram is what I've noticed. Not a lot of trolling, lot of hate. Like it's just a lot of likes and people saying, "Oh, cool. Glad you had a good time."
Instagram is like the social media can equivalent to like Tinder.
Yeah.
And like Facebook and Twitter are more just like, "Hey, grandma's home." Grandma's got an ugly house.
It's been a breath of fresh air getting on Instagram after dealing with some of you people on Facebook and Twitter. I'm at Rami is Gramming, by the way, if you're curious. Rami
That's good.
Is Gramming. Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider.
Did you come up with that on your own?
Yes.
You got Bucks News.
Ooh.
A trade.
Oh.
In the Sports Flash.
Okay. In the Sports Flash.
Oh, my God.
Is Sparky going to get his wish? Is Matthew Dellavedova gone?
Can I tease it? A former Buck is coming home.
All right. That's a big time tease.
Former Bucks draft pick is coming home.
National Baseball Insider. We'll talk
former
NLCS.
Top 5 score in the NCAA.
With Seth this. Bucks news right now. Let's check in with that guy from Forbes.com and the Hall of Justice and Sports with Friends podcast. He is our National Baseball Insider, Seth Everett, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. How are you this afternoon, Seth?
What's going on, boys?
Can the Brewers survive a 7-game series using their bullpen the way that they've used it through 2 games, Seth Everett?
Well, out of necessity, they can, sure. You know, why aren't you guys in L.A.? That's my real question.
Our morning show host is in L.A., Chuck Freeman. He's there.
What kind of budget you think we got around here, Seth?
Well, then, you know, I was hoping to be in Milwaukee for Game 6 and 7.
You can drive out here if you
want. Come on out.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know what we can do about that, but come on out.
No, the controversy about bullpenning, that's the verb that's been situated. The Brewers are doing this out of a quest to have pitchers that match their pitchers. I took the Brewers in 6. I'm staying by that. I will stay by that till the end of it. It's now on radio. It's been on podcast, and I've tweeted it. But the fact of the matter is that Chasen needs to give them innings to give these guys a little bit of a rest, knowing that they have 2 other games without a day off. The problem that you run into is whether or not these guys get overused. But what Craig Counsell and David Stearns are figuring is that they're only going to be able to get once around the lineup from all these pitchers. So you're not going to suddenly ask Wade Miley and Gio Gonzalez to be something they're not. And if you did go into the strategy saying, I'm going to just ride Gio, you're going to find yourself down 4-1 in the 5th. And I'm sorry, but that's what these guys are at this point. What my estimation will be is, depending on how many pitchers he has to use tonight and depending on what kind of length he gets out of Chacin tonight, my wonder will be, does he let another starter go two times around the lineup? If the answer to that is yes, I think the Brewers will be in good shape. If the answer to that is no, I worry about what they're going to have by game six.
Seth, I also picked them in six, but this afternoon on the show I said that if they can't get it done in six and if they keep using their bullpen this way, if this thing goes to seven, I think that it tips the scales in the Dodgers' favor if we continue to see the bullpen work the way that it has been in the first two games. Agree or disagree?
I don't really subscribe to that. I don't think they're playing with fire right now. This formula has worked for a long time. They lost one time in 3.5 weeks.
Right. And so, I said you can't change midstream. I said they have to keep doing what they've been doing and what has gotten them here. But I just think that the longer this series goes, the more it favors the Dodgers.
Correct. I don't necessarily buy that. I'm not in love with what the Dodgers have, and I like the idea that the Brewer hitters have seen Ryu again, have now seen Ryu recently, and the same thing can be said for Kershaw. I just think these games are going to be battles, and you felt these games a lot. The flaw, and this is something that the Oakland A's found out, the Oakland A's tried this bullpenning theory in the wild card game, and what they realized was you're asking every pitcher to have his A game under the utmost pressure. And so once you get into a game six and game seven, the pressure changes, and you just have to wonder whether these guys crack. The other thing is I don't know what the situation with Jeffress is, because they're not saying. No one's saying anything. He keeps claiming he's fine. I don't want a Yu Darvish situation. Yu Darvish was pitching for the Dodgers in the World Series last year, and he stunk. And I'm not saying Jeffress is stunk, but Yu Darvish was awful and then all of a sudden had a mystery injury. And I hate that. I don't want mystery injuries. If he's hurt, he's hurt. And if he's not, he should be the guy that we're counting on. I'm not questioning his mental makeup. I just wonder if they're putting him out at 85%, and that scares me, because when a position player does it, it's heroic. Think Kirk Gibson. When a pitcher does it, I think it's dumb.
Okay, so how big of a game do you think this is tonight, knowing that you're going to have Hader, and knowing that if you use Hader tonight for two or three innings, you're probably not going to be able to use him again until Wednesday?
It's big. I mean, every game is massive. I just think reclaim home field advantage. That's the key to the whole thing. You lost one, and that's not a crushing defeat. That was a playoff game. It felt like a playoff game. That's the makings of a really good series. You try to win tonight, get the lead again. I fully expect this to be 2-2 after four. I think it's a three-game series, and like I said, I stick to Brewers in six. But if you've noticed, one thing I never do, I don't ever predict seven-game series, because if you say a team's going to win in seven, that means that the team that had the chance to clinch didn't, and that always changes momentum.
Talking with Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, here on the Wendy's Big Show. I was saying earlier that if the Brewers do win this game, I know that it's Rich Hill slated for tomorrow night's game, but if the Brewers win this one and the Dodgers are staring down the barrel at a 3-1 series, I wouldn't be surprised to see Clayton Kershaw on short rest in game four. You don't think so?
I don't think so. I'd be surprised if Dave Roberts goes that way. I don't think he would, nor should he. That's not effective. That's not a strong strategy. It's a strategy of a time gone by. And I think that if you're down 2-1 now, if you're down 3-0, it's a different story. But you're down 2-1, I wouldn't do it. I would try to win, tie it up 2-2, and then you have him for game five. My attitude is, if the Dodgers believe in their starting pitchers, then believe in your starting pitchers. That's how this is going to work. If you notice, there are three teams of the four remaining in the postseason that really are hanging their whole success on their starting pitchers. That's where the Brewers' strategy makes sense. And look, we'll have an off-season conversation. The union hates this. You know what I mean? I know for a fact the union is livid at this bullpen strategy nonsense, because you're diminishing the value of the starting pitcher. But look at the Astros. They're riding Verlander. They're riding Morton. Like these guys, Garrett Cole. The Red Sox' whole fate is resting on Chris Sale's recovery. He spent the night in the hospital. They're scared to death about what he's going to happen, and he's not 100%. And you always notice whenever a pitcher, I don't care if it's a reliever, opener, bullpener, whatever you want to call him, any pitcher that's not 100%, it affects your mechanics and it affects your results.
But at the end of the day, regardless of what happens, this team's still going to have to be able to score 5 or 6 runs a game, like we were talking about last week going into this series. They're going to have to score because I don't think either one of these lineups are really going to be held down all that much by either pitching staff.
You mean in the World Series or in this series?
In this series right here.
In this series, you know, I don't know necessarily that you have to do anything. I could see this team, you know, winning a 3-1 game or a 2-1 game, that kind of thing. I just want to see how they play out. Remember, you divide playoff games by thirds. So it's just survive the first third. You try to make your ascension during the second third, and you protect it during the third third. And you have to split these games. This is why, you know, you can give a guy a standing ovation if he can't get out of the fourth inning. You know what I'm saying? Like, but if you give, like, if you're David Price and you get a 5-0 lead, you have to get out of the fifth inning. It's just a very strange dichotomy. My attitude is just it's a one game at a time. The fact that the Brewers' best pitcher is going tonight, and the fact that he can give them length, if he can go twice around the lineup and give them 6, and you know, you're talking about a 4-2 lead, you know, just a 2-run lead. I don't care if it's 5-3, 4-2. I could care less what the scores are. But if you can do that and put a lead where you only need to use 2 arms tonight, that would be massive going into the next 2.
Although, and you and I both agree with the overall strategy of bullpenning.
You have a better chance of winning the lottery than you do of the Brewers using 2 pitchers in a game.
No, 2 relievers, I'm saying.
2 relievers.
Two relievers in a game.
Like, I still think
you have a
better chance.
Look, they're doing this out of necessity. This is very different than what Tampa's doing. You know what I'm saying? Tampa is doing this because they don't have anybody.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny how they believe in this philosophy except when Blake Snell's on the mound because he's good. And people are saying that the Brewers are trying this revolutionary thing. It's the same yim-yams that called the Brewers a Cinderella team. I heard 2 national broadcasters this weekend call them a Cinderella team. That's an insult to Cinderella, to Jasmine, to Aurora, and all the princesses.
Good job.
Thanks. Appreciate it. We'll go out on that note then.
That was impressive.
I know comic books are your forte, but that was an impressive breadth of knowledge when it comes to princesses.
Hey, how are your podcasts doing, Seth?
The podcast, thank you for asking. We found out this weekend that Hall of Justice is ranked number 7 on iTunes TV and
nice.
Film chart, and Sports with Friends is ranked number 11 on the Sports and Recreation chart for iTunes. And tomorrow on Sports with Friends, I'm interviewing the CEO of the new NHL Seattle team, Todd Lywicki, who has ties to Minnesota and ties to Tampa. And we have a new episode coming, and these rankings have been unprecedented, and I'm so thankful to anyone who subscribed.
So find the Sports with Friends and Hall of Justice podcast on iTunes and follow Seth on Twitter at Seth_Everett. Seth, always appreciate the time. We'll either be talking about the end of the Brewers season or a World Series when we talk to you next week. You're picking World Series. I hope you're right.
It's like I got skin in the game.
There you go. Seth, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week one way or another.
Yeah.
He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935. If you're just joining us, you're going to want to hear the injury report for Packers and Niners coming up next and our predictions before we make way for a 2-hour Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck show built by Ozinga to get you ready for Game 3 of the NLCS. It's the Wendy's Big Show, and we're back right after this. Sparky, weren't we told last week that things were looking good for Randall Cobb, Geronimo Allison? They were practicing after not practicing the previous week and missing the game. Isn't that what we were told? Did I dream that?
I don't remember.
Am I imagining that? Baby Tausch, do you remember that?
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
Okay. I was seriously questioning. You know how sometimes you dream something and you think it's real?
No doubt.
Okay, I was seriously questioning whether or not I really remembered that happening or if it was real. And I apologize if I told anybody on Fantasy Football Weekly yesterday to start Geronimo Allison or Randall Cobb, because according to multiple reports now, both those guys who were listed as questionable with a hamstring and groin injury respectively are both out, are not playing tonight, are inactive for this game against the 49ers. How much does that change things in terms of your prediction or how things play out tonight?
I don't know. I think it's a blowout. I mean, we knew that back when we did Confident, Concerned, and Curious that these two knuckleheads weren't going to play. So I still think it's a blowout. Roll out your helmets, whatever. I think the Packers offense needs four touchdowns. That's what I'm looking for. Four touchdowns from Aaron Rodgers, and let's see what happens. You want score prediction, too?
I will do that in a second. I just wanted your thoughts on the injury report right now. Also on the injury report, let's see here. Bashaud Breeland with the hamstring limited in practice over the weekend. He's listed as questionable. Safety Kentrell Bryce, full practice on Friday after missing some time with the ankle injury earlier in the week. Brian Bulaga listed as questionable. He was limited in practice over the weekend. You said it earlier, Sparky. I can't imagine that Brian Bulaga is not playing today. Even if he's in a condition where in a lot of normal situations he wouldn't play, I think because of the depth or lack thereof elsewhere on your offensive line with Spriggs going down with the injury earlier this week in practice, he almost has to play regardless of how he's feeling today, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yep, totally agree. I think at this point, because your depth is so horrible on the offensive line behind him and McCray at this point, if they suffer an injury of any substantial amount to him or McCray for a long period of time, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. I mean, you can't have Bulaga out 6 to 8 weeks now at some point, regardless of the bye week is next week or not, or McCray for that matter. I mean, Bell did okay, I guess, the last time he played for him, but I need my offensive line healthy to give us the best chance of winning.
Aaron Rodgers had full practice over the weekend. That's a good sign. And Jermaine Whitehead, the safety, he's listed as questionable after being limited in practice over the weekend with a back injury.
Who will be this week's Chili's MVP? Let's check in with Gary, Rami, Sparky, and Leroy and get their Chili's pick to click.
Sparky will be the MVP on tonight's Green and Gold post-game show, and your prediction for Packers and 49ers before we wrap this bad boy up and make way for the on-deck show.
Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And prediction for a score?
Yes.
41-10.
41-10? You weren't kidding when you said roll out the helmets, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. All right. I'm going to say, this is wishful thinking, I need 9 points from Aaron Jones tonight.
Mine's wishful thinking, too. 41 points.
I need 9 from Aaron Jones to win tonight. My pick to click is Aaron Jones.
Oh, you're beyond wishful thinking.
And the Packers win 27-17. That's going to about do it for
us. Imagine if they name him the starter tonight, how excited you're going to be.
That would be so cool.
To have him give him the ball once and pull him.
That might be the happiest the Packers have ever made me, to be quite honest with you. We're going to make way now. We're not going anywhere. Sparky and I are sticking around. 2-hour on deck show coming up next. We're just going to join forces with Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tau Schmidt to get you ready for game 3 of the National League Championship Series between the Brewers and the Dodgers. Our thanks to Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, for joining us. And our thanks to you for listening and contributing throughout the afternoon to the Wendy's Big Show. For Sparky, Baby Tosh, intern Mother Plucker, I'm Rami Maklov saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you in just a few minutes, and then the Big Show is back tomorrow with our two former Packers talking about this Monday nighter right here on The Fan.
And the Brewers.
And the Brewers, of course.
It's a 2 for Tuesday.
2 for Tuesday.
Yeah, you like that?
I do.
Yeah.
Talk to you later. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.